nothing but the blood. Now, blood is the most fascinating tissue in your body. The blood that flows and circulates throughout your body does so at about every 23 seconds. And all of us have somewhere around 5 quarts in our body. But here's the amazing thing about the blood. As it circulates throughout our body, I'm going to get technical for you, Brother Randy. It takes out all the garbage and puts in all the good stuff.
I didn't understand.
Yeah. That's what the blood does. And it circulates, takes out the garbage, puts in the good stuff, so that we can live a livable life. Oh, there's power in that blood. Let's stop it from flowing and see if there's not power in that blood. And God said, I am going to use the focus of the blood. Now, why? Because of Adam's sin, the sin that started it all, because of the human sin, atonement at one again, to be at one with God, had to be made, and blood had to be shed. Because there's nothing more powerful than the blood. The blood gives life. The blood sustains life. The blood feeds. The blood cleanses. And God says, I'm going to use it. But I want you to know something. You are not going to be able on your own to pay the debt for just your sin alone. You're not going to be able to do it. Because you're a human becoming closer to Christ. Therefore, I am going to send my son, my only son, no brothers, come on. I'm going to send my son, me incarnate. In other words, I'm coming down. That's how much I love you. I'm going to see how the human lives. I want to feel the pain. Do you realize how difficult it is? Yes, you do. Each one of us dealing with just the individual pain of our own life, the hurts, the brokenness, the physical pain, the mental pain, the psychological pain, spiritual pain. What a horrible burden that is. It breaks us and brings us to tears. Yet, God says, I got you. There will never be a time where Jesus, when you said yes to him, will not be there for you. You hear me? I don't care where you are. I don't care what bad case of the stupid you had to get yourself there. Jesus is with you. And he didn't quit loving you because of your foolishness. Because something really took place on that cross that is so powerful that all of heaven stood still to watch it in unbelief. The power of the Son of God nailed to a cross, didn't die. They couldn't kill him. He told them they couldn't. He said, I lay down my life of my own. No man takes my life from me. So don't start blaming it on the Jews or anybody else. sin put Jesus on the cross. My sin, your sin. But God had already declared, listen to me, sin must be paid for so you can be free. Listen to Hebrews 9, verse 22. In fact, the law requires, remember, Jesus didn't do away with the law that you see in the Old Testament. Jesus is coming to fulfill the law so that the law was over with. Gee, I'm never going to get Siri saved. I might as well give that one up. Jesus cared so much for you and me that he hung right there. To my mind, until my name went through his mind, your guilt stripe had hit his body. He hung on that cross. He remained there because you and I couldn't. It was going to take a blood sacrifice, but he was the only one that had the blood that could do it. He's the only one that could cleanse us, as the old English says, and wash us white as snow. The law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. I believe. I believe in the Word of God. I believe Jesus Christ is exactly who he says he is. I'm a Christian. I know him personally. Never seen him. No visions. But I promise you, many, many times throughout my life, and prayerfully, I will continue to have those periods. I may not see him, but I can feel him mighty strong. It is his arm that'll lift you up from the ditch of life. Because he paid. He paid for my mistakes. He took my guilt. See, that's what the blood does. It redeemed us. Now, in Scripture, when you see redeemed, that word translated means to buy from slavery. You and I are slaves to sin in the world. Every time you turn around, sin smacks us. We find ourselves back in a ditch of life, don't we? Even now, born again, having the power to turn away. How many times do we choose not to turn away? Do I have the strength to walk away? You do in Christ. You know what our problem is? We're humans, still becoming. And we want the easy way out. We want the easy way out of trouble, the easy way out of life, the easy way out of any difficult situation. Life is not easy. So Jesus conquered it the hard way. He paid it. He redeemed it. He bought me from slavery. Listen to 1 Peter 1, 18 through 21. You ready? For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. I'm born again, washed into blood, born from above, born anew. Don't care how you say it. Jesus' blood saved me just like it did you. Now, it is his blood that surrounds me. It is his arms that hold on to me. It is his coat that wraps me. It's red. It's the blood of the Son of God. And we're always warned, and I warn the lost world continually, woe to the one who stomps on the blood of Christ. Now, when God says woe, woe, you hear me? When God says woe, that means calamity's coming your way. Do not treat the blood of Christ as nothing. It's your salvation. It's the protection around your family when you can't be there. It is Jesus who's there with your children. It is his blood that protects. He doesn't forget. He made a promise. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I paid for it. I bought you from slavery. When you believe, you become alive, more alive than you've ever been. For it is by the power in that blood that you will walk on a daily basis. Jesus' blood redeemed me. And you know what else it did? It justified me. Justified. Now, justification doesn't mean as though I'd never sinned. No, no. It justifies me. It means that even though I'm a guilty sinner, even though I'm a sinner, I'm made righteous through grace, believing in the blood, I plead the blood. Larry, what do you plead? Going to heaven. You did this right, you did that right. I didn't do anything right. Jesus got it right. And it just so happened he loved me in the process. Satan has no authority over the love of Jesus. Satan doesn't mess with the blood of Jesus. We have been redeemed and justified, made perfect in the eyes of God because of what Jesus did. And when we said, I believe, oh, it really bothers me when I hear people say, well, I've done this, that makes me a better Christian. Oh, my goodness. I'm at church every Sunday. I'm at church every day. I'm at church here, and, you know, here. Here's what I have done. You didn't have a thing to do with your salvation other than saying, I believe. Jesus did it, lest you would boast about your goodness. No, you're saved because of the goodness of who Jesus is. You're made whole because of his blood. His salvation is not halfway done. He did it right the first time. He doesn't have to go back to the cross. Brother Larry, how many times do I need to get saved in a lifetime? Once. What must I do to be saved? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Believe in the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. And then he added, and your whole household. Not meaning you're saved for your household, but the rest of the household believes the same way and is saved. Can't make it in this world, folks. Never have been able to make it in this world without that exceptional power of God in your life. Think of the hurt that you went through as you go through life. Think of how many times you've been disappointed and how many times you've disappointed others. And now I want you to think of how many times did Jesus go to the cross? Once. That's all it took. When he stretched out his arms and called me to preach, and I said, Lord, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I knew in my heart his words were good. I can use you. You feel like you don't know what you're doing in life? Good. God can use you. Because when you have all the answers, you won't listen to the true answer. A true answer of love. A true answer of a peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that goes beyond anything and everything else that you can ever imagine. There was a time in history before Jesus came. Moses was about to be born. Moses was a deliverer. He didn't even know it himself. His family didn't know it. But Moses was to be the deliverer. Pharaoh got wind of all of it. And Pharaoh said, fine, if there's going to be a deliverer, Christ, there's going to be someone that's going to deliver, that means I'm not going to have any slaves. So therefore, kill the newborns up to 2 years of age in the Hebrew nation. Slaughter them. Well, Moses' mom wasn't going to have any part of that. So the Lord touched her, had her put him in that basket, and put him on the river. And Miriam, his sister, was to follow and see where God would lead Moses. And the story that you will know if you've been in church much at all is that he was adopted into the family of Pharaoh. Moses, a Hebrew, ended up in the court of the king. Until time went on and Moses would be touched by God and Moses would realize who he was and that he was to deliver a nation from bondage under Pharaoh. One other story there is awesome because when Moses came back to deliver the Hebrew nation, Pharaoh said no. And God pronounced 10 plagues against Egypt. This is something you may not know. Each plague that God pronounced against Egypt represented one of the Egyptian gods that they worshiped. So God was coming full force at this time. Because you know, it wasn't just Moses coming to deliver. God was making a proclamation of one is coming. One is coming. And the story goes, as God tells them, Moses, you tell them to do this. I want you to have them, and you'll find this in Exodus 12, verse 7. I want you to take the blood of a lamb representing the Christ to come. You got this? And I want you to spread it on the doorpost. And when I come, it wasn't a death angel. Scripture doesn't mention any death angel. No. God was taking this personal. God watched the Hebrew children being slaughtered by Pharaoh. And God was coming down into Egypt. And God said, you have them. Put the blood over that doorpost. Now listen, Exodus 12, 13. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. This is representing the Christ to come, Jesus. Now God's getting involved. His son's coming. Not long. His son's coming, the true Savior. And God says, let me show you who's in charge. There's blood involved. I'm the giver of life. I am the sustainer of life. I am the creator of the blood of life. Now you put that blood on the doorpost. Let it be a sign on the houses where you are. And listen to him. He didn't say when the angel sees anything. He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No blood, death. When God sees the blood, there's no such thing as death. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Listen, no destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Well, here's something. Down in the land of Goshen, that's where the Hebrews were living. God had saw to it they had that fertile ground. And the plagues of the frogs and all of the evil, including the firstborn, was striking. When it got to the grand land of Goshen, it was like an invisible wall stood up. And not one plague could pass that spot. Couldn't go in to the land of Goshen. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The scripture tells me and you that because of that blood that you're washed clean with, God sees that blood. And you cannot come into condemnation. You pass from this world right out of that broken body of yours straight into the arms. Now the scripture does tell us that angels are going to escort you straight into heaven. That's a pretty good escort. Huh? Huh? Lord, he's one of yours. And you know, Paul learned this. Paul said, I take no pride at all except in what Jesus has done for me. I take pride in that. You're going to have a lot of pride in the arms of an angel, heading for the arms of Christ, because Jesus paid it all. And all he paid was the blood sacrifice. And he says, I will protect you, not just now, but forever. Do you ever wonder why angels have to escort us into the realm of God? It's called spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is not over, folks. You read about it in Scripture. It's alive and well. Satan is in these lower heavens. And ain't nothing nice about him at all. But God says he created the angels to protect us, and that we will be brought safely to him because of the blood. There's power in that blood, Brother Randy. There's power in the arms of the one who shed the blood. When he sees you down, Jesus doesn't stand up there and say, get up, Mary Larry Pete, what in the world wrong with you, son? No. He sees me knocked down, he comes right in that ditch. Well, I was surprised one time. He was there waiting for me. Isn't that amazing? I'm saved by the blood, just like anyone who is saved. You appreciate a God that cared so much. He wanted to feel how you feel. He wanted to know your true hurt. But more than that, he wanted to give his all so you wouldn't have to. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And what does he tell us to do? You tell the story, your story. You don't have to tell somebody else's story. How Jesus saved you. Now, that's the blood of Christ. And finally, it delivered us. Listen to Revelation 12:11. You ready? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They loved not their lives unto the death. Jesus paid it all. You owe nothing. He already took care of it. And he took care of it so you would have the freedom to enjoy your salvation. Yeah, there's power in that blood. And I get excited. Just like from the first sermon I preached. Jesus knows my name. And I, after my stint here on earth, after I'm out of this body, I'll be with all of you who have left your body to be with the Lord. And frankly, folks, I have no idea what all eternity entails, except the Scripture tells us we'll get to be with him where he is and whatever he's doing. And Jesus says, I got a place for you. I got you a home in glory land. And out shines the sun, Brother Randy. I always give you songs. It's the power. That's the word of God. And it don't get better than the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for allowing us to come in your presence. We thank you, dear Lord God, for sending your Son. We thank you for that blood sacrifice. We thank you for the story of life and living and eternity. We thank you, Father, that you left nothing undone. Our salvation is assured because of your sure love for each of us. Give us strength, courage, and boldness now as each of us follow you in the path you're leading us. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.